Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Let me remind us at the start that we are 5 episodes into this brief series answering this pertinent question. As Christ's people, how are we to live in America during the time of the election? We are certainly in election season, and the time has come to see who will be elected to the federal, state, and local government. All eyes are on president and vice president, but there are other races that are important. As Christians, we are different than everyone else. Our Messiah, our King, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God, and we take our leadership from Him. So that however we answer this question, we must do so from the words of our Lord found here in the Bible. Having opened the teaching series by setting down 3 foundation stones, we will now build upon those. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. I will read verses 1 and 2. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, these words set the scene for what follows, which is the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who will ever preach. This is the perfect sermon. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Quoting nobody else, the Lord opened his mouth, and for 3 straight chapters in Matthew, God in human flesh spoke to the first disciples and all disciples ever since, telling us clearly how to live in this evil world. So we can expect to find instruction here that answers our question. And here it is, in verses 43 through 48 of Matthew 5. Drop down the page with me. I am reading Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I invite us to hear and obey what Jesus says in these verses, and we will come to them. But first, a few words about the Sermon on the Mount to keep in mind. We should ask, who is this sermon for? To whom does this sermon apply? You may have heard this teaching. Some Christians believe this message is only for the still future coming millennial kingdom of Christ. What is that? The millennium is the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. He will come and establish his kingdom here and rule it in peace. Well, that part is absolutely true. But then they add, because of the very demanding nature of what Jesus says here, this can only apply to that time. For example, I just read to you that our Lord says, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, how are we expected to live like that now, goes the argument. So these folks say this sermon has nothing to do with us. There is no application for you and I in the church age, living before the millennial kingdom. Friends, this view is wrong. It is false. Do not believe it. Yes, believers will live this sermon in the millennium. and we are to live it now. It's a both and, not an either or. Let me quote our friend, Pastor MacArthur, on how this applies to every Christian within the sound of my voice. Quote, "For several reasons, that interpretation cannot be correct. First of all, the text does not indicate or imply that these teachings are for another age. Second, Jesus demanded them of people who were not living in the millennium. Third, many of the teachings themselves become meaningless if they are applied to the millennium. For example, there will be no persecution of believers during the kingdom age, but this sermon addresses what to do when we are persecuted. Fourth, every principle taught in the Sermon on the Mount is also taught elsewhere in the New Testament in contexts that clearly apply to believers of our present age. Fifth, there are many New Testament passages that command equally impossible standards, which unglorified human strength cannot continually achieve." Close quote. This is right. This is the correct interpretation. Friends, who is this sermon for? It is for us. Let's not weasel our way out of obedience to Christ in all the verses that follow. Read, believe, and apply this sermon to you. Same for me. But someone says, "Brother, I have read this sermon more than once, and the teaching here is hard. In my experience, it is impossible to be who Jesus says to be, to do what he's commanding me to do. Even in the short section you read just now, I always fail." Oh, I agree with you. Me too. I fail the Lord regularly here. And in some ways, is there anything more discouraging than this sermon? Here we see Christ's perfect standard, and suddenly we evaluate our lives and we honestly conclude we are not living the sermon on the inside of our souls, much less on the outside where everyone else sees our behavior. Love your enemies? That's just too hard to do. My fellow Christ follower, here is something we must understand. While the Lord does not talk about the Holy Spirit in these chapters, clearly when we hear our Lord elsewhere, we know this. All genuine Christians have been given the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and it is He who enables and empowers us to obey Christ's teaching. If we set out in our own flesh, in our strength, and in our willpower to be who Christ says to be, to act as Christ says to act, we are doomed to failure. But when we depend on the Spirit of God living in our souls, we can be as Jesus commands. We can. Hear Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." You see, we now possess the promised Holy Spirit, and he will enable and empower us to fulfill the commands in the Sermon on the Mount. As St. Paul said, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." We have to take all of Christ's words together, and when we do, we find application of this content to us. Can believers love our enemies, truly love them? Yes, we can, by walking in the Spirit, not by our own strength or willpower or dogged determination, but by the abiding presence and power of the Spirit in our souls. Let me say here, when Christians live like this, when we live out this sermon, wow, we will truly be winning people to Christ. We will be doing the best kind of evangelism. We will definitely fulfill our commission and mission that we have talked about, to make disciples of all nations. Why? Because when non-Christians encounter Christians living like Christ, they will be drawn to Jesus. They will be saved, they will be sanctified, and they will in turn live this out, inviting their friends and family to Jesus as well. Many of us pray for revival. That's good and necessary. But if we lived Christ's words here, that would surely spark revival in our country and around the world. As we draw this to a close, let me make one more introductory comment. When you read this sermon, when you study it, what you will find is Christ primarily addressing who we are. He focuses on the heart and soul of his disciples. His words are first about internal change in us. Then they are applied as external change. This sermon is about how being leads to doing. We should expect the God-man to speak directly into our hearts and challenge us in this inward place. This is a spiritual message, not a political message. But when we obey it, we find this tells us exactly how to live in the time of this election and always, every day. Everything that has been said today is valuable and important. Grasp this, and then be sure and join us next time as we continue to hear from Jesus on who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.